If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. My subject tonight, the gift of faith. I want to talk to you about the gift of faith. There are many types of faith, but we're going to hone in on the gift. Now, we have been studying a very exciting group of lessons on the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it is the gateway into these gifts. Some people think it's the apex of an experience. No, it's just the gateway into what God wants to do through your life. Now, they are called manifestation gifts because they function in the emergencies of life. And they manifest as the Holy Ghost manifests them. They're supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. I like that. God just shows up and he does something for you through these gifts. They're exciting, they're dynamic, they're wonderful. And the church needs these gifts. They're divine, they're supernatural. None of them are natural, meaning that they do not operate because of some natural ability. A lot of people get the gifts mixed up, and because somebody has a natural gift, they start saying, well, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. No, these are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost that are manifest in the emergence of life. Thank God for gifts that he gives people. Amen. But look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. This is what sparked this in my heart years ago. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So we're not going to be ignorant in this church because knowledge is power. So these gifts are given by God. And look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the gifts are given for the good or the common benefit of everyone, for your profit. And then from verse 8 through 12, these manifestation gifts are listed. I go over this over and over because I want you to understand this. And through the repetitive process, you will learn and you will know. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, talking about the gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So we see these are manifestation gifts, not natural abilities. They're by the Spirit. Verse 10, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11. But all of these work it the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man as he wills. Verse 12 is powerful. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. My subject tonight, the gift of faith. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful testimonies that we're having in this place because these gifts, Lord, they're flowing like a mighty river. They're operating in our midst, and we praise you for that. And Lord, as we study, we just ask you to just open up greater revelation, greater manifestations, Lord, because we realize we're in the last days and people need to see these gifts because they will turn the world upside down today, just as they did in the early church. And Lord, they will bring a great harvest of souls. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, thus far in this study, if you look at your handout, the nine manifestation gifts, there are three categories, the revelational gifts, the power gifts, and the inspirational gifts. So far, we have studied the revelational gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now we have come to the power gifts. Look at those power gifts as faith and working of miracles and gifts of healing. And tonight we are going to study the subject, the gift of faith. Look, 1 Corinthians 12 and 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. We are talking about a supernatural faith tonight. We're not talking about the normal faith that you operate in. Now, look at the definition of the gift of faith in your handout. These are definitions by Dr. Lester Sumrall. They are time-tested. They're time-proven. And every one of these nine manifestation gifts have operated in my life at one time or another using these definitions. And they may have operated in your life. You just may not have understood what was functioning, what was happening. But through this series of lessons, you will come to know that. Now, the gift of faith is when without any human effort, God brings to pass a supernatural thing. God brings to pass. You don't do it. God does it for you. It's not something you do. It's something God does for you in this gift. God does it supernaturally on our behalf. And remember this, God does it for you. Now, when you get to the working of miracles, it's something God does through you. But in the gift of faith, God does it for you. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, they are like links in a chain. You cannot tell one link in this chain from another. And that's why we have these definitions. Looking at these gifts, when they begin to flow, and I'll show you this evening a series of gifts that have operated in my own life. And then next week, I'm going to go and how they operated in the Old Testament. I'm going to give some biblical examples tonight. But it's hard to differentiate one link from another link in that chain. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we studied the divine unity of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. Now look at those three foundations there. Three foundations that cause the gifts of the Spirit to operate. In chapter 12, we saw the unity of the Godhead. We also saw the unity of the body of Christ. The eye cannot say to the toe, I don't need you. The ear cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. We are one in the body, and the gifts of the Spirit, they will not function where there is disunity. Now, I'll give you a little hint. There are people that will not be in unity with you. But as long as you love them and you stay, keep your heart clean, you can operate in the gifts. They cannot stop you from functioning in the gifts, but you can stop you from functioning if you allow quarreling and disunity to contaminate your spirit. Where there are problems and strife, where there is quarreling, the gifts will not function. Now, they will function through you, but if you're going to pray for that person, they won't function through you for that person. That's what I'm trying to say. That is what the Word of God teaches us, and unless you get people working together in the unity, the gifts of the Spirit, they will not function. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible gives us the other key to the gifts, which is love and faith. So the Bible says in Galatians, faith worketh by love. So these are the three stabilizing forces that cause the gifts to function. There must be unity. A flowing of the body together. I did an entire lesson on that. I pulled it out of Ephesians that time, but we're seeing it in 1 Corinthians here. There must be love, secondly, loving one another, praying for one another, caring for one another. And thirdly, there must be faith, faith in God. Paul said to covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he begins to talk about love. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's all about the gifts. We call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter, but actually it's a gift chapter. It's part of the gifts that you have to flow and keep flowing in love. If you ever get out of love, forget it. You just miss God a million miles because God is love. Can I get a good amen? You cannot despise others and function in the gifts of the Spirit. So if there is a shortage of the gifts functioning in your life, it's because of one of four things. A lack of knowledge. Maybe you just don't know about the gifts. A lack of unity, a lack of faith, or lack of love. But if you get everything flowing together according to the Word of God and with the Word of God, these gifts will function, and they will function through you. You just have to know that God will use you. Amen? Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 again. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I keep coming back to that because so many people, they get natural gifts mixed up with supernatural gifts. This entire section of the gifts of the Spirit has nothing to do with your abilities. It has everything to do with God's supernatural ability as He chooses to flow His divine power through you or through someone else in the body of Christ to bless people. So the gifts, they are closely associated, like I showed you that chain, like links in a chain. And because of that, sometimes you just have to ask, well, what gift is functioning? Like those links in the chain, they are held together by each other, they're linked together, and they flow closely together. So they are connected, yet they're separate. Can you understand that? This is one chain. Those links are connected, yet they're separate. And that's how the gifts function right there. They're separate, yet they flow together. They're one, meaning that they all come from the same Spirit. I'm right back to that again. Yet there are nine manifestations of the gifts. So like there are many gifts, there are many different types of faith. So if you're going to understand this particular gift called the gift of faith and how it functions when God does something for you, if you look at your definition there, you'll have to understand the difference in the other types of faith. Now, first of all, there are many kinds of faith. Sometimes the gift of faith is mistaken for simple faith that it takes for salvation. But the two are not the same. Look at point number one, saving faith. First of all, in the spirit world, that's what we call saving faith. Saving faith. You had to get that to get into the kingdom, get through the gate. Now look at Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Now this is not the gift of faith. This is the gift of God to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So good works don't save us. Good works are a result of the fact that we are saved. Because we're saved, we want to work. We want to do something in the kingdom of God, and we want to help others. Now, the saving faith, when a man preaches the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he preaches that to you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you open your heart to God, then and you ask him to come in, he will come in, and you will be born again. That's what we call saving faith. Now, the sinner, he doesn't have to confess all his sins because his sins are so many. He just says, Lord, I believe you died on that cross. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you took them, bore them off. You're the Son of the living God. Come into my heart. Cleanse me in your blood. I receive you, and I think I'm saved. So the sinner's sins are so many. Can you imagine trying to tell God how sorry you were for all the sins you did? You could never name them all. But when you get saved, we have an advocate with the Father. And if you look 1 John 1:9 up there, 1 John 1:9, if you pop that up, please. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says if we confess our sin, because we're saved. If we sin, we need to confess it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the sinner, he just receives Jesus. That's saving faith. The sinner, he's already saved, and he just repents and gets his heart washed again in the blood and just goes on shouting and praising God, because the devil would like for everybody to think, well, you messed up and you're going to die and go to hell. No, we've got God's eternal life, Zoe, working in us. We are the children of God. We're born again. We've been saved, and we praise God for it. Go on and thank him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what you call saving faith. Secondly, every redeemed person has what we call the measure of faith. That's the second type of faith, the measure of faith. God has given to every born-again believer the measure of faith. I preached it for years wrong because I heard it wrong. I heard it preached wrong. That people say, everybody has the measure of faith. No, they don't. And a lot of misquotes say a measure of faith. Everybody does not have this faith that we're talking about. Look at Romans 12 and 3. Paul said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you to believe us. Do you see that? To everyone among you to believe us, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, to every man among you, to everybody that's saved, you have the measure of faith. So what have you done to build that faith? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing anointed preaching. Faith comes by reading your Bible. You build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What are you doing to exercise that faith and to grow that faith? That's important if you're going to be used of God. The saving faith, or the measure of faith, rather, is this universal faith has no relationship to the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. There's a difference between the measure of faith, which is given to every believer, and the gift of faith. So we need to understand that. Thirdly, that's what we call natural faith. Now, everybody has this type of faith, natural faith. Every human person has that. This is the kind of faith that a farmer has when he sows his seed. He has faith to believe that that seed of corn that if he will sow it, it will fall into the ground, it will die, it will burst open, it will come out of the ground, it will grow up and become a stalk, and it will produce corn. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like if a man should cast seed into the ground, he should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and bring forth of itself, he knoweth not how. How? First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The kingdom of God works just like the natural man. But this gift of faith that we're talking, it is a supernatural gift where God operates it through you, for you. He does something for you. Hallelujah. So the farmer, he had faith for that crop. If he didn't, he would not have planted that seed. Amen. He wouldn't plant it and hoe it and pray over it, whatever that farmer does, and wait for the thing to produce. So the kingdom of God works the same way. But now think about your tithe. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When you sow your tithe, your money, into God's kingdom, you're tapping into a supernatural resource there. Because God says, my kingdom works just like the natural. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And you begin to position yourself for tremendous increase in God's kingdom. So why does it require faith? Because some people cannot literally afford to pay their tithe, they think. But you really can't afford not to. And they've gotten themselves in such financial positions that they look at the natural realm and say, if I pay this, I won't have enough money to pay my light bill. I won't have enough money to eat on. Well, try fasting. Hallelujah. Get your seed in the ground and watch God work. I know it works. I got saved. I had resources. I never paid a penny tithe on. Something inside of me, I've said, God, when I cash those things in, when I cash those CDs in, when I do that, those stocks, I will pay my tithe on all of it. Hallelujah. And I did what I promised God I would do. And God has supernaturally blessed me. So the natural faith. Well, you know, when you decided to come to church tonight, you use natural faith. You believe if you went out there, turned the key on in your car, that the engine would crank over, that it would fire up, and that you would be able to drive the car tonight. Amen? That's natural faith. So we all operate on natural faith. You believe that chair that you're sitting in right there, that no matter how big or how small you are, you believe if you sit out in that chair is going to hold you up. It was engineered, and you're going to be able to sit there without getting hurt. Amen? Natural faith. Now, every redeemed person in this world has saving faith. But all don't have what I'm talking about, the gift of faith. They have the measure of faith, they have saving faith, but they don't all have this gift of faith. This gift is something very distinct from that. Now, the thief on the cross, he has saving faith. Before Jesus ever cut that covenant, he just believed. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that if he would do that, he could get into God's kingdom. He was dying. He was a thief. He was dying for the life that he had lived. He was dying for his sins. Yet something inside of this man said, that man on the center cross, I believe if I just ask him to remember me, that he's going to understand that I am sorry for my sins, that I'm going to get forgiven, and I will make heaven my eternal home. So he leaned his head over and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today shall you be with me in paradise. So if you're out tonight watching by live stream or Facebook or however, God will save you. If you've never been saved, all you have to do is believe. You don't even have to talk about all your sins. All you got to do is say, Lord, I believe. Come into my heart. Wash me in the blood. Now, the Philippian jailer, he had saving faith. He told Paul, he said, I am ready to receive what you have. And he and his entire family were saved. And then we get one of the greatest promises in the world, says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. His whole house got saved. The whole jail cell got saved. Hallelujah. And after we're saved, you know, we need to remember this. The same faith that saved us is the same faith that we can get healed by. It's the same faith. After we're saved, we say, Lord, I bring my disease to you, and I thank you, by your stripes I'm healed. It's just that simple. That if you got that much faith, matter of fact, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, real faith, just faith, you can get whatever you need from God. I know sometimes it's a battle, but praise God, it will come to pass. All you got to do is say, Lord, I accept it. I thank you that it's mine. Hallelujah. And I am healed by your stripes. That's what we call saving and healing faith. If you let the devil, he would talk you out of your salvation the moment you confessed your sins and say, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. You had a stain of sin on your breath, and the devil would talk you out of it if he could. He's never been able to talk me out of that one. Hallelujah. And he won't be able to talk me out of any of the others because I have the word of God. Amen. But the gift of faith, it is a special faith that supernaturally achieves the impossible. Through this gift, the Holy Ghost performs supernatural exploits, things which we cannot do, things which we cannot humanly explain. These exploits cannot be that which we could do ordinarily ourselves. It's something the Holy Ghost does for us. We observe the gifts of faith in operation, and God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he performs these supernatural exploits. It cannot be natural. I have to keep emphasizing that because so many people, they get confused on that point. They say, oh, Paul, he was a great linguist and he spoke so many languages. No, Paul, he was an educated man. But when he was operating in the gift of tongues, he was not operating in known languages that he knew. He was operating in what the Holy Ghost gave to him at the time. And many times he explained, I'm praying in an unknown language. I'm speaking unto God. So don't get these things confused. And when somebody that's confused tells you otherwise, just go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you will find that they're given by the Spirit. Amen. So it could be that what you cannot do normally, that God will do for you. You must understand this in order to understand the gift of faith. It's not something that you do. It's something that God does on your behalf. Look at your definition. It will help you understand. This gift has functioned so many times in your life, and you probably have not even been aware of it. The gift of faith has to do with the functioning of God in you, through you, and you do nothing. God does it for you. Hallelujah. God does it supernaturally on your behalf. The gift of faith, now, it can operate in the area of divine protection from danger. God can protect you from danger. I remember that first time that this gift of faith ever operated in my life that I can remember. I was hunting, and I had a shotgun in my hand. We were rabbit hunting, but we had a rule. If some quail were flushed out, if the dogs weren't running a rabbit at that time, boom, you had the right to shoot a quail. And so the birds were flushed out. I fired my weapon, and two German shepherds, they came running at me. One of them was black, and one of them was white. And that white one, he just ran around me and around me and around me. I had my eye on him, and that other one was coming straight at me. I took my shotgun, I threw it up, I said, stop. And that dog stopped, his eyes were rolled back in his head, they were yellow. I knew that look. I knew he was coming after me. I said, stop. The other one's running around me the whole time. And he just stood there. And I brought my shotgun to the ready, and he started toward me. So I said, stop. And that dog stopped. And I just been saved. And now I had the ability to kill both of those dogs if I'd chosen to. But I talked to them, and I kept my eye on both of them. And then I saw this man coming out of my corner of my eye. He was coming to me, and he came up to that black dog, and he grabbed him by the collar. He said, this dog right here will kill you. He said, that other one won't mess with you. I said, I already knew that, sir. And he thanked me for not killing this dog. I was a brand new Christian at the time, and when it was all over, I walked away back into the field. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry I didn't ask you to help me, Lord. And God spoke to me and said, my hand is upon you. I didn't know it at the time, but that was the gift of faith. I didn't do anything. I just stood there. And I had the greatest peace, even though I knew I was in tremendous danger with those dogs. God did it all. God divinely protected me as I stood there in faith. See, this gift can operate for divine protection. Have you ever been in a situation and you know that when it was all over, that you didn't get out of that thing by yourself. Now, I've had this gift operate many times in my life since then, and I've been in grave danger. I've been faced death. I've faced tremendous things. When I was in Africa with Simon Shibinga, we went into a place to get a soft drink and some water, and this man come up, and he bumped me. He was a good-sized fella. He bumped me, but my wallet was over here. I turned around. I said, "Is everything all right?" And I stuck my hand out like that. He backed down. He was bigger, a whole lot bigger than I am, but he felt a force inside of me, and I just stared at him, and he turned and walked away. I told Simon and him, I said, "Get your stuff. Let's get out of here." They said, I said, "Leave your change. Let's go." I knew the atmosphere was wrong in that place, and I knew it was time to get out of there. But God divinely protected us. We were out in the middle of nowhere. Have you ever been there? See, now that's divine protection. Now, this gift can also operate in divine provision. I remember when Teresa, her job was eliminated at Firestone. She had just returned from pregnancy leave, and that morning in prayer, the Lord spoke to me through the gift of tongues and interpretation. I've been praying for about an hour. All of the prayers had left except for Pastor Eugene Powers and myself. And all of a sudden, I began to pray in tongues. It was such a thrust. It was like I couldn't stop it. It was just coming out so great. But I want to read you the interpretation. After this was over, I went to work. And when I did, I went into my office. That morning when I went to work, they told me that my wife's job had been eliminated. I said, "No problem." And the reason I said no problem, I had heard from God. Let me tell you what God told me, because I went in my office and wrote it down. This is Holy Ghost message, June the 30th, 1986, with interpretation, Monday, 6:50 a.m. approximately. Jerry Nelson and Pastor Eugene Powers. God said, "I have heard the cry of your heart. I have rebuked the devourer many times for your sake. I will rebuke him for your sake. I will not reveal the future to you at this time. It is best for you, for your sake, that I don't do it. I only say unto you to trust in me," catch this, "to walk by faith. I will be with you through the darkest valley. I will hold your hand. I will never leave you. Look to me, and I will order your footsteps. Trust in me, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Seek me, hear my voice, and walk in my ways." And then he gave me a very personal promise. "I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." Exodus 15:26 says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." God spoke it personally to me. "I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." I laughed when he said that. And then I wrote down Psalms 34:1 after I'd finished that. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth." And I wrote down, "I love you, Jesus. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Now, that was the gift of faith. I found out that morning that Teresa's job had been eliminated. And she told me, she said, "Jerry, I've been told that I've got seniority. I can exercise seniority, and I will not lose my job." And I told her, "That's the wrong voice. God had already spoken through my mother. He had spoken through that prophecy, that tongues and interpretation that morning. And I knew in my heart of hearts that God wanted Teresa to go home, be with Jessica, see her take her first steps, hear her say her first words, and to be there and to sow into that little child's life. And I said, "Go home. God wants you to rear that baby." And then she said to me, "You can't pay the bills by yourself." And I told her, "I don't have to." Now, I'm talking about in 1986, about $35,000 dropping out of your income stream. I told her, I said, "I don't have to. All I have to do is work, and God will pay my bills." That was in June 1986. Things were tight for a while, but in 1989, I sold some stock that I had bought. I had a lot of it. Teresa had a lot of it. And I had $15 average in that. And I sold it in the high 60s. And God opened the windows of heaven. They've been open ever since then. People say, "Are you bragging?" No, I'm a sower, and I walk by faith. And I'll never forget, I was walking one day in my neighborhood just doing my daily walk, and I looked up at the house, and I looked at the car, and what God had done in my life. I said, "God, thank you so much. I never imagined in my wildest imagination that I could ever recover and be blessed like this." And God spoke to me. He said, "Son, if you will walk with me, this is just a small taste of what I'll do for you." Go on, praise God. God is a good God. See, I'm still living that thing out, is what I'm trying to tell you. So that was in 1986. So God sent a landslide, and I just started sowing, and I've been sowing ever since. So I encourage you, start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. The gift of faith, so we know it can function for divine protection. We know it can function for divine provision. It can function for divine healing also. Remember, it's when God does something for you. So I'm just talking to you how this gift has operated some in my life. I'll give you some Bible examples. But remember the part where he said, "I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." He made that very personal to me in that tongues and interpretation. I laughed at the time. I laughed. I said, "God, I'm not even sick, and you are telling me that you're going to heal me." But God gave me a word that I am your healer. And 12 years later, when they operated on my heart, two of those bypasses that they did, they shut down on me. And then God supernaturally bypassed my heart. He did that through the gift of faith. It was a creative miracle. I was headed to the prison to visit someone, and the doctor had given me a bad report. I said, "God, I wasn't expecting that." God says, "With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation." I keep these little mementos for myself because I don't want to ever forget what God has done for me. I came home from that meeting. My wife handed me this card. She said, "You need to read this. It's a word from God for you, and you need to read it." I said, "Well, read it to me." It says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. No evil will befall you." I just got a bad report. "No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your home, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Today, God says to you, listen to me, today God is speaking to you, today God says to you, "Because you have loved me, I will deliver you. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and honor you." I said, "Where is that in the Bible?" I did not know. Now, I know the entire 91st Psalm now. I mean, I can rattle it off. I mean, if God's going to take time to speak to me, I'm going to memorize all of that. And so I said, "Get a good King James Version, open the Bible, read the last verse. The next verse under that, I guarantee you, it says, 'With long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory.'" She said, "Well, it says salvation." I said, "Well, God said glory," and that's another story. But God supernaturally did that for me. It was not the laying on of hands. It was nothing, but God did it for me. Because he said, "You have set your love upon me." Hallelujah. If you love him with all your heart, go on, praise him, and expect your miracle through the gift of faith. It's wonderful how this gift operates. Hallelujah. So God did a creative miracle. Now, look at these gifts. I'm going to list some of the gifts that were in operation. Now, two inspirational gifts, tongues and interpretation, were in operation when God spoke to me about my future. I read you that prophecy. I spoke in tongues. Pastor Eugene Powers, he interpreted. So that's two inspirational gifts. A power gift, the gift of faith, is where God supernaturally provides for your future. So we never lacked anything during those 3 years, and then God just opened up the windows just like he said he would do. But I had to walk by faith. I just had to just say, "Well, God, you said it, and I believe it. Hallelujah." And I did. I worked like I said I would, but I never worried. I never had any fear about it. We paid everything. We paid our tithe. We paid God first. Hallelujah. And we just kept on giving and giving and giving. And you can give your way out of a mess if you got enough faith to do it. Hallelujah. Now, a power gift, the gift of faith where God supernaturally provided for the future, that was in operation. Two power gifts, the gift of faith and the gifts of healing, where God supernaturally created new arteries in my body. That was 2009. I went and had a nuclear scan done this year, and the doctor looked at my heart. He said, everything looks great. I said, well, let me ask you, can you stent collateral arteries? He said, oh, no, we can't stent those. They're too small. I said, what would you do in my case? He said, nothing. He said, your heart will mend itself. I said, which is better, to have what the doctors do or to have collateral arteries? He said, in your case, collateral arteries, your heart will mend itself. So isn't that wonderful that God is the God that gives and just keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. Go on praising. He's the El Shaddai. He's the great healer. He's the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. Now, so sometimes the gifts run so closely together that it's hard to define which gift is operating. But what I want you to see is that the gifts are like links in a chain. And many times it takes several of these gifts operating together, like these links in this chain, to bring about the manifestation that God wants to bless your life with. But he's a good God. Amen. Now, in the operation of the gift of faith, there is no sense of fear. Because if you have fear, faith cannot function. In this gift, there is no sense of fear. Because if you have fear, the gift cannot function. Remember the dogs that were coming at me? Now, I had that shotgun in my hand, but I still got a dog circling me. And I got one standing there. His eyes have rolled back in his head, and they've turned yellow. I know that look. That's the look of death. And that dog was ready to pounce on me. But God supernaturally protected me. Now, if Daniel had fear in that lion's den, he would have gotten eaten alive that night. Amen. They say lions can smell fear. So keep your heart full of faith and you will keep the devil at bay. I promise you that. No matter what, when you go into situations that you know your life is in danger, if you'll just stand there in faith and know that God said stand and see the salvation of the Lord, you can stab the devil himself down. I promise you that. Hallelujah. I remember one night he showed up beside of my bed. And I sensed him. I woke up. I had to make a head call. I said, go from here in Jesus' name. I came back. And when I got in the bed, I laid down. And I sensed his presence. I said, I told you to go in Jesus' name. I'm going back to sleep. And I rolled over and went back to sleep. When we were in Israel, I'll never forget it. I woke up in the middle of the night. And it's like something had a chokehold on me. And I fear tried to grip my heart, and his voice spoke to me. He said, you're not in America now, and you can't get the help you need. I said, you lying devil, I got help in Jesus' name. I said, you go for me in Jesus' name. I command you to go. And fear and all of that left instantly. There are demonic forces in Israel because that nation, that more empires have died at Jerusalem than anywhere else. That is a place that there are diabolical forces that are coming because they know that Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to set his foot down on that eastern gate. Hallelujah. And that new heaven is coming down at Jerusalem. So praise God. We know who we are. Amen. So when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, they didn't fight the flames. They didn't try to put out the fire. God supernaturally preserved them. So the gift of faith, like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, is operating out back there in the Old Testament. It's when without any human effort, look at your hand out there, that God brings to pass a supernatural thing. God does something for you simply because this gift is operating. When the gift of faith functions, there is no sense of fear. You need to remember that. It functions so automatically that you have no sense of fear. That's the best I can explain. It's just so automatic that even though you know you're standing there in great danger, there is no sense of fear. The gift functions in love, It functions in peace, and it functions in serenity. You just have total peace with God. This is one of the best gifts we could ever desire. I pray for this gift. I pray for it. I say, God, I would just like to operate more in the gift of faith. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 how to receive these gifts. He said, we must desire them. We must reach out for them. But they don't come to people say, well, if God wanted me to have a gift, then God would give it to me. No, that's not the way they come. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly pray for them. He said, be zealous of spiritual gifts. And he said, study. Study, that's what we're doing. We're studying because knowledge is power. If your attitude is God will just give it to me if he wants me to have the gifts, you'll never get them. No, no, no. These gifts come to people who are burning on the inside. Say, I want more of God, and I'm ready for more of God. You must have a warrior spirit about you, hallelujah, and say, Lord, I am ready to do battle on the front line. God does not give the gifts so you can just contain these gifts. He gives you these gifts so you can set the captive free, so you can go out and do exploits, because the Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Remember this, the gifts of the Spirit, they are part of our weapons of our warfare. The gifts of the Spirit are given to help people, and we need them functioning in our local body. The early church, they had them going. They turned their world upside down. They were flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. And God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, to flow in the gifts, and to bless the entire world around us. That's why I love the gifts so much, because they just flow and they function, and you can take the power of God to somebody, and you can be such a great blessing. It's so far beyond anything you could ever do. It's not your natural abilities. It's God supernaturally laying his hand upon you and operating one of the nine manifestation gifts. In our next lesson, we're going to look at some biblical examples. So I encourage you to covet the gifts, desire the gifts, be zealous of them, to seek God that you would excel in the gifts. And we're going to continue next week. We'll have examples from the Old Testament, examples from the New Testament. What I want you to see in part of this study, there are only two new gifts that were added on the day of Pentecost. That's tongues with interpretation of tongues. All the other gifts, they have functioned in the Old Testament, and the difference being the Holy Spirit would come upon people, and today he lives in us. Therefore, he can manifest his gifts anytime he chooses through us. Let us stand. Be a great blessing to the body. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Put your hand over your heart. You're the temple.
Thou art welcome in this place.
Come in, the Lord, in great power.
Omnipotent Father,
give us a greater measure of your Spirit, Lord.
I will come in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Mercy and grace, oh, yes. Thou art with.